Well, Margaret was a saintly woman who never missed the opportunity for going to the sacrament of penance. She was, however, very forgetful, which is why she arrived at the confessional with her sins always listed neatly on a piece of paper. And rather than shout her sins loudly because she was almost deaf, Margaret had the tendency to shout. She would just hand her list to the confessor. On one particular Saturday, however, Margaret handed over the list and the priest looked at it and said, "What is this? It looks like a grocery list." Margaret snatched the list back, looked at it and gasped. "Oh my Lord," she shouted, "I left my sins at the supermarket." Well, in today's gospel, the Lord wants us to get rid of our sins. In fact, you know, there are three points that I think we can take from today's gospel. As you know, Pope Francis, whenever he gives a talk, he always talks about three points. He's done that ever since he was a young priest. I read a biography of Pope Francis a couple months ago, and even as a young priest or as a bishop or in charge of the seminary or as the director of the Jesuits in Argentina or even as a pope, he always tries to give a homily with three points, three things that people can remember. And so when you look at tonight's gospel, there really are three things that we can remember and take from tonight's gospel. The first one is to get rid of sin in our life. And the Lord uses a very literal exaggeration to get his point across. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. The Lord is using this literal expression, this hyperbole, an exaggeration to make a point. Obviously, he does not want us to physically cut off our hands or our feet or to gouge out our eyes. The church has always understood this to mean to get rid of sin from our life, to cut out sin from our life, not to physically cut off our hands or our feet. And the Lord said, well, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter into heaven, you know, with maimed than with two hands to go into hell, to the unquenchable fire. So how can someone's hand cause them to sin? Maybe they have a problem with stealing. So the Lord is telling them to get rid of stealing from their life. What if their foot causes them to sin? The feet always represent walking or traveling. If somebody goes to a particular place, maybe at a particular bar and gets drunk, they should not walk to that particular place. They need to avoid the near occasions of sin. That's the idea of how our feet can lead us into danger. So we're called to avoid the occasions of sin. How can our eyes cause us to sin? Well, through envy, through jealousy, through lust. And so the Lord is saying, eliminate these sins from your life as well. So that's the first point that the Lord is saying today. And he says we have to be willing to make any sacrifice to enter heaven, even to be willing to give up sin or the occasions of sin in order to enter heaven. You know, they say that sin is to the soul what cancer is to the body. Just as you get a good surgeon to cut out the tumor or to cut out the cancer from the body, so when we go to confession, the priest is the surgeon of the soul. And the priest helps you to cut out the sin from your life. You confess your sins, Jesus absolves you through that priest, and the priest hopefully is a skilled spiritual surgeon for your soul to help you physically cut out the cancer of sin from your life, no matter what kind of sin it might be. So this is how we get rid of sin, is by going to confession. Especially I encourage our young people who are preparing for the sacrament of confirmation in just 8 weeks to make regular use of the sacrament of confession. Parents, make regular use of the sacrament of confession to cut out any sin from your life. And then the second point that we should try to take with us tonight from Jesus's teaching in the gospel is that St. John runs up to Jesus and says, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, you know, doing exorcisms, and we told him to stop because he doesn't belong to our group. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles. And the Lord reprimands him and says, don't prevent him. There is no one who's performing good deeds in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. Who's never not against us is with us. And so that's the second point we should remember, that if other people are doing good for the Lord, praise God. That's wonderful. This is called true ecumenism. We all want to work together with our brothers and sisters from other religions or denominations who many of them believe the same things we do, and we should work with them. And if they're doing good, we should praise God and not try to prevent them, but to cooperate and work with them. There are many other religions that are working to make the world a better place, to help save the lives of unborn babies, to organize shelters for the homeless, to provide homes for unwed mothers, to help promote the sanctity of marriage between man and woman, to strengthen the family, and to help marriages. There's so many good things that are being done by other religions and other denominations, and we should be happy about that. We should not try to discourage that. If they're doing good things, well, then let's cooperate with them, and that's true ecumenism, working with our brothers and sisters in other denominations or other religions to do the Lord's work, to strengthen families, to strengthen marriages, to help our young people come to know our Lord Jesus, and to save the lives of unborn babies. And lastly, the third thing that we can take from tonight's gospel is Jesus' warning about giving bad example or scandal to others. The last thing he says here is, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. That's very strong language that the Lord is speaking. And one of the things that breaks the Lord's heart is when little ones go astray. When children drift away from God or drift away from the church, it breaks the Lord's heart. And he says, woe to those who lead others into sin. Woe to those who give bad example or scandal to the little ones. For those who give the scandal, Jesus says, it'd be better if they had a millstone tied around their neck and be thrown into the sea than to lead a little one astray. And the little ones, of course, could be children or it could be just young believers in the Christian faith. And so we have to make sure that we always give good example, that we don't give bad example. This goes for priests and nuns and bishops, for those in authority, for teachers, for coaches, for police officers, for anyone, and especially for parents. And that we have to, as parents, to make sure that you're being a good example for your children, to make sure you're taking them to Mass each and every Sunday and Holy Day, that you're taking them to confession. See, if the kids don't get to Mass, it's not the kids' fault if they can't drive. It's your responsibility as parents to lead the little ones closer to Jesus and not to lead them astray. So Jesus says, woe to those who lead the little ones astray. So thank God for all of you. Thank God for you as parents, because you're here. Your kids are in religious education. You're making sure they come to religious ed every week, that they're coming to Mass every Sunday or Saturday night, that they're going to regular confession. So praise God. Thank God for you, because you are being a good example to your children by doing those things. So God bless you and continue to be a good example for your children. So remember those three things from tonight's gospel. We need to get rid of sin from our life and the occasions of sin. Number two, if we have others that are doing good work, let's praise God for that and cooperate with them. And number three, never lead a little one astray, but always bring them closer to God.